Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding incomparable cannot be top Neil Coulonge. Sir, welcome.
Yeah, we're here back at it. As always, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are back at it. The Steelers are now back in the playoff picture. They're right in the depth of it. I can tell by the tone of your voice.
They are in the hunt. They are in the far right column of the playoff projections, the playoff picture. You've got the top seeds, you've got the wild card, and then there's in the hunt, the Steelers at 5-7 in a what looks like a train of other 5-7 teams, which is why they're currently there. But it only brings you back to a couple games. And I'll be honest, going into this season, I never thought there would be a point we would honestly say, if this went this way and that went that way, both things really just didn't go in the Steelers' favor, they'd be in the thick of it. And it's crazy, but it's true. I mean, get that Jets game back.
Yes.
You know, if you've got week 13 Kenny Pickett playing, they probably win that game. I mean, that really, you know, that went on him. The end of the Dolphins game, that went on him. That's two wins. You know, if Gunnar Olszewski decides to catch the punt with his hands and not his face mask.
Well, I mean, everybody has their own method, Neil.
Yeah. And for some reason, they're still giving him the ball. I'm not sure why. But a few things go differently early in the season, the point where they really had to figure things out. This team is in competition. I'm not saying that it's over yet. And beating the Ravens with or without Lamar Jackson is not an easy task. They got to do that twice. They probably have to more or less win out. It's a tall order, but you have to give them some credit. I mean, I wrote this team off this time last year. I mean, they really did not look like they were going to be able to field a competitive product. And I think the biggest story is they've won three of four, and they're getting this is blasphemy to say, but they're getting average play at best out of T.J. Watt, who's clearly not right.
That's right.
Their defense is hanging on without the star power that he brought from last season. It really goes to show how far they've come. And it's been fun to watch the last couple weeks.
They also caught a little bit of a break in this because they have, what, five wins? And three of them are against the NFC South, which is easily the weakest division in the NFL. I mean, and they still have a game to play with Carolina.
Yep, they still got the lowly Panthers on that schedule. But it's not an unusual year. The Steelers lose one of those kinds of road games. You know, it's not out of the question for them to do that. Kind of a tricky Falcons team that's tough. They really good running teams. They can get hot. They can get coordinated and do the right thing over three drives and beat you in low-scoring games. And what really impressed me with the Steelers in that win was the last two competitive plays that they had. They got it from Presley Harvin, best punt of his career, without question, an absolute beauty, to put him at the one. And this was the point that I feel like the Steelers' offense just couldn't get done for the sake of their defense throughout this game. They're up 16-3. It should have been like 24-3. If they would have been able to get the Falcons back enough to be able to get them out of the run game and force Mariota to throw, they would have blown them out. That would have been a big win for them. But Pickett missed on just a couple throws. Their offense missed on just a couple opportunities. If they were able to do just those things, they could have blown them out. But what happens? Harvin puts a punt at the half-yard line, absolutely perfect punt, force Mariota to throw. You don't even get great pressure, but enough that he makes a mistake. Fitzpatrick would have taken that for six easily, but he wisely goes out of bounds. Steelers kneel it out and win. The last two plays of that game, critical plays, and they won them both resoundingly. The Jets game, they lost four of those plays at the end of that game. Dolphins game, they lost five of them at the end of the game. Those things are swinging in their favor now, and that's progress. You know, you're happy to see that. I think it's safe to say this team's probably not going to win a Super Bowl, but to see them building the way that they are with the draft capitals they have coming up, you're much more optimistic about where this team is going now in the future.
I know I ask this every week, but are you seeing the progress in Kenny Pickett that makes you think that he is a longer-term solution?
The fact that Pickett is keeping me right on this edge, right on the edge of the cliff, to me now is progress.
Yep.
He is consistently just missing on a couple of them. The throw, my opinion, and I don't think this gets talked about enough, Pat Freiermuth ran the best route of his career. Did an excellent job on an inside post. He was there. Pickett just missed him, maybe a foot off. Tough throw, tough window, but Freiermuth had the exact angle that he needed. He got the right depth on the play. Reaching out, he could have caught that and fallen into the end zone. That would have been a monster play for the Steelers at that point. Pickett just missed him, just like he just missed Pickens the week before on what would have been a touchdown pass against the Lions. He's missed on just a couple of these now every game, and he's, you know, knock on wood, but he's still not turning the ball over. He hasn't turned the ball over in a while.
Right.
He's making more plays each game. They're expanding what he's doing. He's playing with so much more confidence than he was early on. You have to be very encouraged by where he is. This is 20 overall, not 2 overall.
Right.
So to me, you're seeing a lot of great things from him. I can't help but feel like he's on the brink of a big game. Like, I could see a 300-yard, 4-touchdown pass game coming from him soon, just because he's only missing on a few of these plays. Now, we can get into strength of opponent and all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, 300 yards and 4 touchdowns isn't even Roethlisbergian versus the Ravens. I mean, it more than likely isn't going to happen this week. But he's becoming more and more of a positive factor in the team. And everything else, I think, is feeding off of that. You're getting much better play from the offensive line. The running game seems magically fixed. It's hard to even comprehend how that happened as quickly as it did. They've put a lot of things together, and Pickett is rising it all. He's carrying everything with it. And this is the type of play at a high end you hoped to get from Kenny Pickett. Again, the guy, the sum of his whole is greater than the sum of his parts. He doesn't have elite traits, but he puts things together and he makes plays on the field. And he's a momentum guy. He's a very positive energy guy. He makes plays happen. They're getting more and more of that. So right now, for me, as somebody that said back in week 5, week 6, you got the rest of the season to figure out whether or not Kenny Pickett is going to be your guy. And you're going to see, I think, over the course of that, whether he is or he isn't. Because if you only win 2 of your last 11 games or whatever it was, he's probably not your guy, and you probably have a really high draft pick. So I think the answer there is clear. But now I think they have a guy. I think they have a player who's risen above a pretty large amount of adversity. I mean, this was a really, really bad offense. And they're not great or anything now, but they've improved a lot in a pretty short amount of time. It makes you wonder how high that ceiling is. How much further can they go with this? For me, I'm in for year 2 of that. There's a lot of work to do. Not at all suggesting they're great or they can just coast now, but you have to like the direction they're going in, because you don't see teams improving offensively that much during the season.
All right, so the fear with Lamar Jackson, and it has to be the unspoken fear that the Philadelphia Eagles have with Jalen Hurts, is that when you move as much as they move, the potential is you are going to get hit and obviously possibly hurt. For him, it's a PCL. It ends up being a PCL. How different are the Ravens, in your opinion, with Hundley a quarterback compared to what they do with Jackson?
I, as far as a difference goes, I think the passing game is similar. Because I think they're asking Lamar to hit a lot of deep out. They're not having him drop 7 and put his foot down and chuck it somewhere. It's a lot more read and react. He always has that running option. It seems like Hundley has that option as well. I don't know if it differs a whole lot in terms of what they're doing. The level of play, though, is noticeable.
Yeah, sure.
It's
there are reasons why you're the backup.
Yeah, yeah. And it's odd to me because Huntley is one of the more experienced backups in the game now. He's played a lot over the last two seasons, and it seems likely at this point, Tuesday afternoon, that Huntley's the guy that the Steelers are going to see. Yeah. They've seen him before, so they don't have to worry so much about an element of surprise or anything like that. The Ravens are going to do what they do. I think he is capable of winning a game. It's not going to be pretty, and he's tough late. I think they do a good job of mapping out what would need a must score 10 play drive. They've put him in those positions, and he's delivered for them before. It's quarters 1 through 3 that you worry about with him. It doesn't seem like he has a great grasp over what he's doing. Made a couple really nice plays against Denver that I liked. He rolled out, looked like he was getting sacked for sure. Rolled out to his left, and his outlet option had to turn up the field. Huntley looked somewhere else, then went back to him down the sidelines. Really, really smart play. He put the throw right on the money. He's capable of doing those kinds of things. I wouldn't expect that the Steelers' defense can just show up here and not do anything, not the way that they've been going against the ground, which I'd imagine the Ravens are going to want to do in this game in particular. But you worry a little bit about him just because you've seen him. He's had some success. It is a technically a backup quarterback, but they should view him as a starter. The amount of times that he's had to play both as a starter and an in-game replacement, and the fact that they've seen him, the Steelers have seen him as a starter, I would imagine they're going to give him the respect that he deserves simply because without the real high-end pressure that they're used to getting with a fully healthy T.J. Watt on the field, they're capable of getting beat on a drive, and that's happened a couple times. And it's Ravens-Steelers game. You may as well bet on 16-13. So you better make some kicks and you better get some stops. That's really what the Steelers are going to have to look at leading into this.
Now, to me, the definition of a really good backup quarterback in the NFL is a guy that can fill the breach for you for a couple of games. Right? They're not going to lose it for you. They're good enough to win you a couple of games. It's when they become a long-term solution, that's when you find out why they're a backup quarterback. Like Cooper Rush was, I think, took it as far as he could take it. Who knows how far Brock Purdy's going to have to take it in San Francisco?
That's right? Just wild. Yeah, I mean, what a great story.
Yeah. And Mr. Irrelevant, the last guy picked in the draft, is now the starting quarterback for one of the biggest threats in the NFL, the 49ers. But to me, that's what a backup quarterback in the NFL is. Can you hold the fort for a couple of games till the starter gets back? Huntley can do that. It's the problem is going to be if he has to do it for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, that's always the question with Lamar, too, you know, the style that he plays.
Yep.
Not to suggest
that's why I mentioned Hurts. Hurts plays the same way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that the contract issue coming up with him, that's going to be a thing. Will Philadelphia, you know, look to draft a quarterback again? Wouldn't surprise me. They did it once with Hurts and struck gold. It's a position that has to have insurance. You know, there's a lot of talk about – I happen to agree with this philosophy – the backup quarterback is a top 20 roster position for your team.
Yes.
There's just too many instances of that. Mm-hmm. Let's put it into the terms that you just used. If you're in a situation where your starter is going to be out 3-4 weeks, which is not a certainty for Lamar Jackson, but that tends to be sort of the recovery time for the injury that he's said to have, you need a guy that can play for 3-4 weeks. While there is not quite enough film yet to really pick apart everything that he's doing, you still have the ability to hide some things because he's been in camp and practice with you all this time. You might be able to get away with stuff that an opponent hasn't seen yet in the fourth game. Probably not going to extend much beyond that. And Cooper Rush, I think, is a great example of that. The clock struck midnight with him. I mean, that was ending pretty quickly. But he did a great job, you know, an admirable effort. And I think that we've seen Huntley do that before. The question to me now is you treat him like a starter. You've got this information on him. I don't think they have anything left that they can really roll out to say, this is our surprise package that we've been working on the side for this type of situation.
Right.
Is he good enough to do that? I don't know. But it's to me, this is the most intriguing matchup of this weekend. I think it's a really good game, and I think it's going to end up having a lot of significance, especially considering there's a rematch coming just, what, 3 weeks after this one.
With Watt, is it all about him playing hurt, or is there something else?
I don't know. The team is being very tight-lipped about it.
That means he's playing hurt.
I don't. They can tell you everything that they want to tell you about it, his effort, his heart, all of that. I'm not questioning any of that. I'm questioning when I watch him on the line of scrimmage. He's not a guy that has to make an inside horizontal move against offensive tackles because he has nowhere to go coming off the line. He has no explosion. He has no pop. Something isn't right. I've watched every snap of that guy's career, probably most of them 5-6 times each. He's nowhere close to the player that we're used to seeing.
That's right. He
didn't just get lazy.
No.
He's not right. I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to be the guy in social media that diagnoses it by watching film. There's just something not right about him. And his production, or complete lack of production, I don't think he's gone 4 games in his career with less than 1 full sack,
right,
which is where he is now. There's something that isn't right with him. Whatever that happens to be, it didn't look to me from the Falcons game that we could reasonably expect it to go away this week. But they haven't gotten a big play from him in a very long time, and this is why he was Defensive Player of the Year. You know, he was a finalist three consecutive years.
I mean, Neil, let's be honest. You don't, right now, the way he's playing, you don't have to leave a running back in to help, and you don't have to chip him. You can actually take him one-on-one right now.
And they have it. And you saw, keep in mind, the impact of him against the run is also something of significance for the Steelers. Falcons got their stuff together over a couple drives in the second half. They ran all over them. Watt wasn't able to chase guys down the way that he did. They let him go. I mean, you don't let backside T.J. Watt go.
Right.
I mean, you had to get somebody in his way, or he's going to get you for a loss. I mean, he did that consistently throughout his career. He doesn't have that explosion. And to me, if I were to venture a guess, and you were to ask Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, in a full truth scenario, did you guys kind of leave Watt alone? I think he'd say yes. And I think they saw his film and they realized he's not right and he's not going to be. Not that you ever completely ignore him, but you don't see him get single covered as often, blocked as often as he was against the Falcons. They really let him go, and it worked by the end. They're not a great offensive team. They can run the ball well. There's a lot of factors that go into that. It's hard to coordinate that, but Watt was not a factor. They handled him pretty well on the edge, and that's just not simply something we've seen in the last, we haven't seen it go over maybe 6 quarters of play in the last 5 years. To see it in 4 games now, very different situation. Definitely a concern for the Steelers defense. They're going to need to get something out of that position, but you know, you're not taking T.J. Watt off the field for Malik Reed, that's for sure.
Well, great that you're over at SI. They're lucky to have you. Appreciate you. We're lucky we have you every week.
I appreciate you guys as well, and I'll keep coming back as long as you'll have me.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Have a good one, guys.